Tonight's devotion is entitled The Lord's, the Believer's Privilege. The Believer's Privilege. And we have six thoughts here that is given. Fear Him, praise His name, exalt and worship Him, call upon Him, obey Him, confess to Him. Fear Him, for He rules. Praise His name, for He judges righteously. Exalt and worship Him, for He is holy. You see that this is a key thought here in the psalm. Call upon Him, for He will answer. Obey Him, for He reveals His will. He shows us His purpose in all His doings. And we, knowing it, the Lord helps us to follow. Confess to Him, for He forgives. This psalm teaches us the believer's filial response to God's sovereign rule in our lives. The overarching thought is the covenantal relationship that the psalmist has with his Lord, and thus the privilege that comes with that relationship. You noticed in this psalm, the word Jehovah, or capital L-O-R-D, right, is repeated many times. Here, this word Jehovah, the word Lord, is a description of a relationship. The psalmist has an understanding of who God is. There is an intimate understanding of a child towards his Father in heaven, and he articulates that relationship. And the Lord wants us to understand and see that the creator of the whole universe, the great God who moves all things, who moves the things that happens upon earth, is the God Almighty that we ought to fear, that we ought to get to know. And not just in as God, as a fearful one, but here there is also a relationship that describes how He, the terrible God, is also a loving Father to His own children. And so the Lord wants us to understand and see here that covenantal relationship that the psalmist has with his Lord, and what that relationship with our God brings for us. What is that privilege that we have? The attributes of God are categorically stated with the highlight on the rightful responses. How do we respond to who God is when we know His attributes as He manifests Himself for us in His Word, in the workings of Him throughout human history? And the first thought that we want to think about is that He is one who reigneth. That's an overarching thought here in this psalm. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. The Lord is the God that moves all things. He's the one who conceived in His mind, and after He has conceived in His mind, you find that the Lord brings to pass His will. And that's a very powerful thought for us, isn't it? That He not only has a will, but He has the power to implement it. How terrible is this God, right? To say that He is the one that moves all things that happens around us. So the psalmist says in verse 1, fear this God. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above His people. The truth revealed by the psalmist is that God is in control of His creation. And it must strike a filial fear to all His children, especially when there's a tendency that we can to think that we can live outside His reign. Oftentimes we think that we can plan our own life. We can go, you know, do what we want. But very often you realize that in life, oftentimes this is not the case. James writes in the James chapter 4. It says, verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And the Lord wants us, James puts across the thought to us that we are not the masters of our own destiny. In fact, God is. And you know, if you look at the human body, there's so many things that can trigger a catastrophe. And we realize that we are living on borrowed time. God willing, we will do this and we will do that. So the psalmist says, God reigneth, my Lord reigneth. And thank God that I know Him, that He is my Father in heaven. He's not a judge. In fact, He's a judge. But because I know Him and I walk with Him, I follow Him, His will, I'm willing to submit myself to His rule in my life. There is a peace that comes. When the psalmist describes the reign of God, he described it as terrible. Causes the people to tremble. You know, have you seen the volcano erupting? There was once I went to visit one of the most active volcanoes in this part of the world, in the world. And we saw far away the volcano there. Right? And then we see a family living here, always on their toes, in constant fear. Because when the volcano would erupt, they know that they have to evacuate in a very, very short time. And if they are too slow, well, we were brought to see a village that was submerged under the volcanic ashes. And we were told that that was a church. It was in the Philippines, a church there. The Mayan volcano. One of the most active volcanoes in the world. And the people live there, indeed, knowing that you don't know when, in a sense, the volcano is going to erupt, and life is going to change. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above the people. Well, it teaches us not to be presumptuous in our living. It teaches us to have a soberness of mind as we live our life, to help us to see, right, that you know, today you may think that this is okay and you're well, but tomorrow everything changes. And so as you reveal life, the psalmist look at life, you realize that yeah, there's a God that controls and open and closes like a door, like a tap, and you know, and things changes in very drastic ways. The Lord is great in Zion. Zion is the holy mount of God, where He rules ancient Israel. It is symbolic of God's rule from His throne. It was a visible picture. God residing in His temple, ruling. But at the same time, it is also a sense of stability for God's people. Remember, before they built the temple, God instructed them to build the tabernacle while they were in the wilderness. While they were in the wilderness, what do they see? Well, they see barrenness, they see death, they see deadness in the desert. So when they look out, it's death and darkness and deadness. But when they look in, they see the presence of God. That God is reigning there, and He is there with us to help us. What a comfort it is to the people of God. So when Israel came into the land and the temple was being built and the glory of God came to the temple, the people saw that this God is indeed a great God. He is high above His people, and only He is great. Do you come to that kind of understanding in your life? That, you know, we are really nothing. And we realize how we are at the mercy of God. How much we are at the mercy of God. And when you realize how much you are at the mercy of God, then, you know, you live life circumspectly. Think carefully as we consider our wretchedness. Who can deliver us from this body of death? Who can deliver us from this body of death? If God did not give to us eternal life, we would all perish in this dead or in this sickened body that does not grow stronger but grows weaker and weaker. But because we know this Lord, our God, who is with us, whose presence is with us, we can understand that He is for us. So you see the thought there. While we fathom His terrible strength for judgment, we also praise Him for who He is. Let verse 3 and 4. Let them praise thy God and thy great and terrible name. For it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment and doth establish equity. Equity means fairness. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His justice. Thou executeth judgment and righteousness in Jacob. You see how God is so righteous. And when we think about the righteousness of God, what do you think? What thought comes to your mind? well, does it not conjures that understanding of the imputed righteousness that God gives to us? He's a righteous God, and yet He came to us that we can draw nigh to Him by the righteousness that He gives to us. Helps us to make right with Him. And how can we make right with Him? We make right with Him not by anything good that we have. Nothing that we can bring before Him. He's a great judge. And if He judges us according to our sins, we are all be dead many, many times over. Every day. All the time. What a terrible God. And yet, we have life. Yet, He gives us His righteousness. And so the psalmist says, let them praise Thy great and terrible name. That holy God, You are holy. And you know how You have given to us that holiness? That holiness that is not of ourselves. That we may not fall on the wrong side of judgment. The sense that because God gives to us His holiness, therefore judgment is averted. God's people are the subject of verse 3, the them there. They are called to praise the awesome, the great and terrible name of God that strikes terror to all who sin against His holy laws. The word strength alludes to God's overwhelming power. He has the ability not only to mete out judgment, but to do so with fairness, uprightness, justness, and impartiality. He is the just judge of all judges. And the word righteousness is that means the attribute of God as a sovereignly and ably administering justice. And it must afford all who it must afford praise to all who suffer injustice, like the importunate widow who pleads for justice from the unjust judge, and she receives it. You remember the story of the widow who had a grievance, and she went to this unjust judge. She would not let go and keep pleading. And the moral of the story is that if this unjust judge, you know, would after being persuaded time and again, it would relent, how much more our Father who is in heaven? He will surely, the scripture text says, avenge them speedily. And we have a God who answers prayer. We can praise Him for who He is. And God meeting out justice in the midst of His people, that is called Jacob, the usurper, the sinner. It brings solace and praise because God chastises His people out of see here the movement, the thought there. Exhort and worship Him. That's the third thought. Fear Him, praise Him, exhort and worship Him. Exhort ye, verse 5 says, the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Here, the word exhort and worship has an added intensity in the grammar, in the imperative. Signifies an urgency. Come to Him, worship Him, fall down before Him at His footstool. And the footstool describes a place where, you know, to rest the legs, a lowly position. In other words, pay homage to Him, know who He is. And we realize that unless God is for us, unless God would help us, unless God would show us favor, we are really in trouble. And therefore, it is important that the people of God would take time to come to God, come to find help in times of need. It shows here our unworthiness and yet God's acceptance of our worship. We are unworthy and yet God accepts us. We cannot truly bring anything acceptable to Him but our wholehearted devotion. There's nothing we can bring to God, nothing that you can boast, that you can come when you come before Him, except your wholehearted devotion. You are God, and I surrender myself before You. And this should be the way we approach Him. Verse the fourth thought, call upon Him for He will answer. Moses and Aaron among His priests and Samuel among them that call upon His name. They called upon the Lord and He answered them. Moses, Aaron and Samuel represented the people before God. They were chosen of God as His priest. They were intercessors for God's people. God answered their prayers. Moses and Aaron interceded for Israel countless times. You remember? We were studying the book of Exodus, and how did they intervene, right? When they went first, when they first came out of Egypt, they ran out of water, and they looked, there was a water supply there, but the water was bitter, and how God's servant intervened, and the Lord gave the instruction, right? Take a log, throw it into the bitter water, and how the water turns sweet. And before long, they ran out of food. And again, intercession was made. And God sent manna in the morning, sent quails in the evening. And later on, they ran out of water again. And how intercession was made, and how God caused water to come out of the rock to supply His people. How God hearkened to the cry of His people. And remember when the prayer of Samuel, when the Philistines attacked Israel, 1 Samuel 7 verse 9, and Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Israel had gone wayward, and God judged Israel by raising the Philistines. It was only when Israel repented that God stayed His hand and delivered them. Fear Him, praise Him, exhort and worship Him, call upon Him, obey Him. Verse 7. He spake unto them in a cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. The cloudy pillar displays the glory of God and describes His presence with His people. The people were obedient to His laws. His laws are the divine testimonies of what He wants His people to do. And here, you see how when God spoke, He taught them His laws and He showed them the way to live their lives. This morning we were studying the account of how the people were coming to Moses with all their grievances, with all their disputes, with all the problems, and how God, you see Moses, what did he do when he received all these things? What did he do? Well, one by one, he would bring them to the Lord. Lord, what should we do? Lord, show us thy will. Lord, what must we do here? How can this be resolved? Moses did not for a moment make any reply on his own. He had to seek the Lord. He had to understand what the will of God is, and then to do the will of God. God's presence was there, and it was God who gave his laws that instructed us how to make peace, how to have unity, how would there be harmony, how the Lord provides the way, and how you see that he was standing there from morning to evening, because there were so many difficulties, so many troubles that were confronting the people of God, and how the Lord had to answer one by one. And later on, you see how the Lord instructed Moses to write down all these laws so that the people in posterity may be able to understand the will of God and do the will of God. So you realize that, you know, in the kingdom of God, man has no say. God and his will dominates. And this is what we see here in verse 7. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. Moses was there on the judgment seat. And on the one hand, he was praying, asking the Lord to show the way. Isn't it not true? And is this not the reason why we would come to the Lord in prayer every Wednesday night? Because we realize that we are weak. We realize that we cannot move forward unless God would show us the way. And we realize that we need to bring all these petitions before him, so that we may seek a good way from him. And that is the privilege of God's people. God, the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. When you come in the presence of God, you receive the light of God's wisdom to lead your way, the way of safety, the way of security, as you know the will of God and you seek to walk in it, and you realize that you are protected through life's pathway. All the landmines in the pathways of life, you are able to safely maneuver all the traps that would be weaved to trip you in your walk. The Lord is there to show you, and you are able to walk in safety, walk in security. Our privilege. Fear him, praise him, exalt and worship him, call upon him, obey him, confess to him, for he forgives. Verse 8. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgivest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. When we confess to him our sins, he is faithful to forgive us. He chastises us for our sins, but he also restores us back to him when we humble ourselves in contrition of heart. God is good. He always provides a way back for his people. And we thank the Lord that there is a way back with God. The two thieves who hang with Christ on the cross. Those were their last moments of life. And they had a choice to make. This was their Savior beside them. Receive Him and you will be with me in paradise. Reject. And, you know, it's a fearful awaiting of the judgment. May the Lord help us to fully appropriate the storehouses of His provision for our earthly sojourn, learning to fear Him, praise Him, exalt and worship Him, call upon Him, obey Him, and confess to Him. That is how we can make right with our sovereign God who reigns over us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Lord, indeed Thou reignest. And we are Thy unworthy children. And we stand before Thee as sinners saved by grace. We thank Thee that but for Thy grace we would have perished. We thank Thee that Your grace is greater than our sins, and that we have a way out. And we come before Thee in humble worship, knowing that without Thee we are doomed, we perish. But with Thee there is safety, there is solace, there is security. So Lord, we thank Thee. Thank Thee for the comfort that and Thy word brings to us. And help us, Lord, to indeed walk with Thee all the days of our life. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.